It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time.
Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com. Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Time. What's going on, guys? Welcome to today's show, Thursday, September 14th, 2017, here at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices in beautiful Ankeny, Iowa. What are we redecorating going on here, Marcus?
We're prepping for hopefully some new agents coming on. So growth, man. Gotta adapt. I think I might get some desks.
Desks? Like actual, like...
A place to put your laptop.
I think you need cubicles.
Hell no. No cubicles ever.
I knew how you would respond to that. That's why I threw that out there.
Cubicles are one of those things. It's like...
It kills the workplace environment.
Well, okay, that. But it's like a feeble attempt at something. It's like, okay, you need your own space. Okay, now you'll never be able to close it, and anyone can look over your walls, but yeah. It's still your own space. And people just say, okay, yeah, this is my cube.
Yeah.
But obviously it also means that your company's too cheap to put in real offices because those are much more expensive.
Well, and you're wanting to shut yourself off from the rest of the team.
Which we don't do a lot of that.
Seems problematic to me.
We like to be inclusive here, to use a great word in society today. We're inclusive.
I was putting up some of your digital on Fanatic the other day.
Yep.
And I saw I hadn't seen him forever. The pictures of all you guys standing around in like suits playing pool and drinking beer.
Yeah, I used one. Well, here's the thing.
So it made me laugh.
I used one of those because we're doing this hiring thing, and I used one, and I'll talk a little bit more about hiring at the end of this. But I'm looking for photos to have prospective people say, oh, it looks like a fun group, et cetera. But I always feel a little bit awkward because one of the people in that group is no longer with us. She left and went to another firm quite a few months back.
Oh, that's the gal I didn't recognize.
Yeah, and you're probably like, who is that?
Yeah, I was thinking that, but I'm like, oh, maybe it's like a roaming agent.
She came and went quick. It wasn't a good fit for her. But I'm always like, if she's out there seeing this, she's probably like, I'm not part of that firm anymore. But what am I supposed to do? Put a smiley face over her or something?
She's in the pic. Black box.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah, I know. Then that would almost be worse. So, but yeah, that was photo day at Charterhouse. So
we need to have just another old fashioned kegger here like we did last year. Fawcast 150 is coming up.
Yeah. What are we, like five away? Four away? Something like that?
No. We're longer than that.
Are we?
We're like 15 away.
Can this thing make it? I thought about that the other day. For this thing to make it to 200, that means we've got to go another year, basically. I think it's possible. But you know.
I feel like we can. I feel like we're kind of rejuvenated without Gray.
I think that what's more likely, that we make it to 200 or that you get lured away by like Fox Sports or ESPN before that happens?
Making it to 200, I wouldn't.
You have no desire for those.
Plans? I really don't. I'm. You guys are stuck with me, and if I'm not doing this, then I'm just gonna get completely out of journalism altogether. I've pretty much come to that conclusion. It's not that I don't love what I do, because I do. It's just I don't. I have zero aspirations to move my family to Connecticut or where Iowa State is. This is where we're at.
I do hope, by the way, and he's agreed to be on this. Can't do it yet for contract reasons, but I do hope that we get Hassel on here. I'd like to ask him about the ESPN experience.
Time out. This is Fawcast 141.
Oh, so we're, yeah.
The sesquicentennial Fawcast is coming up here in about 10 weeks.
Cool. We could definitely do something. But yeah, don't you think Hassel would be fun to have on this?
Oh, he'd be great.
Assuming he'd be willing to open up and talk about things.
I think he would to an extent. As entertaining as Hassel is and as great he is, he's also savvy enough to know to not – there's few employers who employ national media types who do what he does.
Yeah.
So it's like it'd be really stupid for him to just throw ESPN under the bus.
I'm a little bit confused, by the way. I noticed, so he's obviously not on air at ESPN, but he is doing games via Facebook. Are those not ESPN related? Or
no.
Okay.
It's I haven't been able to watch because they're always on Saturdays and I'm working.
A little busy.
There's some, I think like the Mid-American Conference is, or the Conference USA or one of those leagues, whoever he's, they have a deal with Facebook Live or something.
Okay.
Yeah. It really, good for Hassel because it's cutting edge stuff. We're going to be seeing a lot more of stuff like that here in the next decade.
Maybe eventually, instead of Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, it'll be Brent Bloom and Chris Hassel.
Yeah, via the Facebook Live.
Who knows, man?
I was kicking that around. Let's see what our audience thinks, too. My goal is by, like, January 1, I want all of our podcasts to be on Facebook Live.
So let me ask you this question. I don't disagree with you, but what do you think gets added for the audience perspective with that?
It's less about that for me and more about our brand reaching, and it's for our brand and it's for our advertisers because you reach more people that way. That's what it's about. It gives more people the option to click on your content and to receive your message one way or another.
Well, too, and
that's the big thing.
Branding can actually even mean something physically sitting next to you. If you want to be plugging a sponsor, you can have their logo
exactly
sitting next to you while you do it.
And I think too, I think it'd be beneficial for you because people
because of my face. So,
there you go. Okay. People hire you because they know you after all these years, and there's a built-in layer of trust, and it's a likability factor. And I think when you have the option to see somebody as well, and like how we interact, I think that's somewhat interesting.
Yep, we've got a number of different topics coming up. I promise you, we prepped. We don't do any prep for this show. We did about 3 minutes of prep today, so we know we got some topics coming up. I think one of those might be what's going on at ESPN this week, and I just happened to look at a headline here that said CBS Moonves, the head of CBS, takes shots at Disney, ESPN, Fox. I haven't read that. I don't know what that's about, but it's an interesting time in media. That's for sure. That's your biz.
Yeah.
Interesting time. One of the things I was thinking about the other day, as this is directly related to ESPN, we'll get back into this later, hopefully, is when you have someone that represents your brand, in my case, Charterhouse, how much of a right do I have to essentially check out their social media feeds and see what they're talking about? And I think I do. You know, I think clients go on, especially when you're an agent, I think clients of agents check out their agent.
Yeah, I think it depends on the occupation. I mean, like I see your agents, they're constantly using their social media feed for work.
Yeah.
Which is, it's beneficial for them.
Yeah.
So at that point, I think that it's your business.
Yeah.
I think like if somebody works in a cubicle at Wells Fargo, do I think that the CEO of Wells Fargo has a right to be, they have the right to do it, but I don't think it's like fireable.
But even if,
does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. But even the question is, where do you draw the line? Even if you, let's assume they don't write anything, right? But you know, 3 consecutive weeks in a row, you have an employee at Fanatic that posts pictures of themselves getting hammered.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all that they've done.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, would you make the argument that's not acceptable?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's fair.
Absolutely.
So any of these new people we hope to bring on, we're going to say, listen, I just want you to know that me being in charge of this place, I might check your social media feeds from time to time. Just let them know. And then it's still up to them what they want to post, but notify that we're going to do that.
No, I think that's fair.
Okay, so you...
I think that's fair.
You've had a crappy week.
Yeah.
Bad news to share with some people of the podcast that don't know. I'm sure most do already, but I'll let you take it from there.
Well, yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the little girl who we've raised a bunch of money for her family and for the St. Baldrick's Foundation, I think we've raised... Cyclone Fanatic users have raised... over 15 grand for St. Baldrick's. It was last August. If you guys were at the kickoff party, we gave them a check for 25 grand for medical bills and all that stuff. And Ava lost her life on Monday at the age of 11. Sucks. She turned 12 yesterday on Wednesday. You guys have probably seen it. I didn't really want to talk about it on Monday or Tuesday or anything like that, just because I didn't want to be the guy to break the news, really. But it's been all over the Register. Every TV station's had it. She became very well known for her 11th birthday party, when she we pretty much had a good idea that it would be her last, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything can happen, and you don't want to lose hope, and
yeah,
all those things. Like,
yeah,
if it's your kid, and you don't want to ever give up on somebody.
Sure.
But she asked for, all she wanted was cards, and she wanted people to donate to the Children's Cancer Connection. And, I mean, they raised thousands of dollars, and they still have boxes of cards in their basement that they just haven't had time to go through. So that'll be touching here, I'm sure, over the next couple of months to be doing that. But yeah, she lost her life on Monday. I've been with her parents a lot. They very appreciative of our following. I'm sure the podcast has reached a bunch of people who have raised money for this stuff over the years. So yeah, here we are. The funeral's on Saturday, and we're going to be putting out I'm going to have a link, hopefully by the end of the day today, where we can do a big Cyclone Fanatic memorial for her via the Children's Cancer Connection. It's a cool deal, and I feel like we should probably – I need to start doing more with this charity, but to send a sick kid to camp, and camp was Ava's favorite place. Like, even when she was she had beaten cancer.
Yeah.
Like, that was her favorite place to go, because you're still welcome. You're still
– yeah.
You know, you have limitations and whatnot.
Another connection, too, we just discovered, too. So that Cancer Connection, I don't want to see it run by that. That might be accurate, but Kim Olmsted is the head of that over there.
Yeah,
she's a client and friend of mine. So great, great girl, and she's the one that heads that up.
Cool. Yeah, I've been working with her to get this link set up, actually, specifically her. So that's a really small world. But we'll have that. And I kind of hope that we can just kind of put a bow on this deal. I mean, I think I told you guys about Ava 5 years ago.
And a long fight, for sure.
Yeah. So like I would love to put a bow on this thing in a positive way.
Yeah.
And raise some, cause it costs $400 to send a sick kid to camp. It's like, man, if we could raise $5,000, think about how many sick kids that we could send to camp in her honor.
A bunch. I was reading, I think it was the Register article, about her, maybe the day after she died. I think it came out Tuesday. And what the positive takeaway from this was, it sounds like she died very peacefully.
She did.
She'd been asleep for 40 hours or something like that, according to the article.
She went to sleep on Saturday night and didn't wake up.
Which is great. I mean, that's what you would hope for. The other thing, too, and this changes, your perspective changes big time, man. When you have kids, it's like those articles just hit you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading the article, and like I'm tearing up just reading the thing, just because you put yourself in the parents' shoes. It's impossible to do it.
It's sickening to think about what they're going through. Yeah, I talk about perspective hitting you in the face. Cy-Hawk game is on Saturday. Obviously, a super emotional game for an Iowa State fan.
Yeah.
At the time you think it's the most important thing in the world and whatnot. And I was incredibly bummed when I got home Saturday night. I felt like, you know, I was proud of Iowa State. They played their asses off. They got beat by a better team on that day, but I still felt like they kind of let them off the hook a little bit.
Yep.
It was a whatever. So Sunday, we had to greet at our church, and I had been gone on RVTV all week long, and I hadn't seen Ava, and that's like the longest we'd gone without seeing her for a long time.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, let's go get her some flowers and stop over and see.
Are they like like two doors down?
They're just right across the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I texted her dad, hey, we're going to swing by. We got some flowers for Ava, whatever. And he met us outside. And I mean, you go from like caring so much about a game.
Yeah. To not at all, basically.
To holding her hand and watching that family. And it's just.
Yeah.
Man, it can give you a midlife crisis really fast. And I don't want to put myself like it, watching her family. Like, Ava's in a better spot now.
Yeah.
As much as that sucks. But, like, her family now, they've been living in hell.
Yeah.
And the hell that they're about to experience is unknown.
Yeah.
Like
the good news,
sucks,
the
man.
Good news about them, and I've had this conversation, and there's certainly no right or wrong. Cause that was one experience for them. And I've had the opposite in my life, which was, you know, I believe that part of the money that was raised so was that her parents could spend a lot of time with her.
That check we gave them last, and then a lot of people in Bondurant supported them, and they've had a really good.
So they've had a lot of time with her, which is great. They should have. And the opposite of that was when I lost my wife Kate. Her brother and his wife were killed in a car accident.
Yeah, I remember.
That's immediate.
That. Yeah.
You know, you don't get to say goodbye. You don't. And both suck. You know, but the good news is, if you believe in the afterlife, if you believe in heaven, etc., then yes, for her, good. She's in a better place. You know, she doesn't have cancer anymore. She's in a better place. That's what I believe. But it sucks for the people that are still here. You know, and those are the people you got to support because they're going to miss her.
Yeah, and she's got a sister who's a sophomore, and you know, you just think about her. That's her whole adolescent life has been, you know, caring for her sister. And she's a phenomenal kid and a really good sister. So anyways, I don't want to dwell on this. I want to let everybody know to look out for that link. You guys have done so much, and it has not gone unappreciated by that family and also just, you know, everybody. I say this all the time. We've got 20,000 people who come onto our website every day. We need to do some good with it, and we'll do a little bit more, and then we're going to find something else, and we're going to hopefully adopt another family and do something like this for them here over the next, well, hopefully 5 years or so.
Yep.
So that's where we're at with that. Keep an eye on our social media feeds, on our forum, and I'll get the link to that memorial posted as soon as we possibly can.
Well, that's good. It's good work you guys are doing over there. This is the FOGcast, though, so we'll get back to some stuff that we'll – We'll make people cringe. We got some topics
coming up. Take a 180 here.
I do want to do. We got a game coming up against Akron. It's a very winnable game.
Let's talk about that.
I do want to know.
I've talked about that game this week.
I'm curious what your. So I have one negative so far. I was looking at Big 12 statistics. One jumps out to me for Iowa State. There's tons of statistics if you've never looked at Big 12 statistics. There's tons of them.
We have a lot of offense in this league.
So here's two things that jumped out at me about that. And I'm curious about what I want to ask you is your biggest positives that came out of the Iowa game that you saw.
Okay.
But here's two things that jump out at me. Iowa State is averaging – you would look at Iowa State's offense and say, their offense is pretty good. And I would agree with you. It looked good at times. Iowa State's total offense is second to last in the Big 12. Last place is – Baylor.
What about scoring offense?
I'm not sure. This is total offense.
I don't care about total offense.
So
I need to know about scoring.
I'll see if I can find that. But the thing that jumped out to me as a negative when you look at stats and the season is young. Red zone defense for Iowa State. They've given up 10 trips. They've given up points 10 times.
Yeah, they're 10 opposition.
That's a problem. That has to change at some point. You've got to get turnovers down there.
We noted that on Cyclone Reaction the other day. It's actually a really bizarre stat. So Iowa State, every time they've gotten to the red zone, has scored, and so has the opposition.
Scoring offense, Iowa State is seventh.
Okay. See, the reason I don't care about total offense in the Big 12, and this is why, because there's all those up-tempo offenses where Iowa State, sure, we're up-tempo, but not remotely compared to the speed that a lot of those teams are running at. So, like, total offense, it's really – I mean, I just need to know – points per possession and scoring.
So scoring offense is seventh. Scoring defense.
Who's behind us in scoring offense?
West Virginia, Kansas, Baylor.
Okay.
So
Baylor, guessed West Virginia.
Iowa State's at 41.5. Baylor's at 27.5. Here's one question. I don't want to focus on Baylor, but you're the Big 12 guy here. After all the scandal left, did a ton of good players leave?
Well, they don't have a lot of depth right now. They're like
– I mean, are they garbage for the rest of the year? Let's put it that way.
I mean, he's a – decent coach, I think. I mean, here I will say this, Mark.
They're shockingly bad, Chris.
No, I know, but I would say this. They just made a quarterback change. I don't think he's a terrible coach. They actually have a lot of players on defense, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I would take them at plus 14 this week. I wouldn't bet it with your money.
Oklahoma?
They're at Duke, but they're getting 14. Like,
oh, they're at Duke.
Point is, they have enough talent. My fear with Baylor, and this is why I picked Iowa State to beat them in the summer and why I picked them to finish like 8th or 9th in the Big 12, whatever I had them at.
Yeah.
is just like how focused have those guys been on football on all offseason?
Apparently,
and they don't have any. They don't have any depth. Like they are now what Iowa State normally is, where they have starters who are capable of competing in the league.
Yeah.
But their depth sucks, and apparently their starters aren't that good right now either. So
didn't Duke just get hammered by
Northwestern,
and now they're favored by 14 over Baylor?
Baylor's lost to Liberty and UTSA at home.
Yeah, terrible. That's a tempting spread right there. It really is.
14's a lot for a team with that much talent and a decent coach. We think he's decent. I still don't like the hire. Like, I think they needed a guy who was born and bred Texas to really rally the good old boys, and I don't think Rule can do that.
Just need a guy who's anti-rape. That's what they need.
Well, I think he's a good enough guy. Like, I just think that whoever was walking into that job, it had to be a little bit of a Cliff Kingsbury situation where it's like – or a Fred Hoiberg situation,
yeah,
where you have so much goodwill built up in the community around you that they're gonna let you suck for a while.
Yeah, it's tough. I was watching a documentary on Penn State the other day, and Paterno, you know, he wasn't the one doing the deeds, but allegedly covering up. And then you've got, you know, Baylor has a history now of two crappy coaches. Dave Bliss in basketball was a scum, and Briles, your former hero, I assume you hate him now.
Keyword former.
It's kind of like, and we get naive about people at Iowa State because Iowa State's a different culture. It's like, oh, they're good people there. You ask yourself, like, if push came to shove, would Campbell choose torching a season over doing the right thing? And you hope that he would. You know? It's like, okay, we're going to forfeit the rest of our games because all of our players suck and have done horrible things.
I'd say
it's tough in that business,
Rhodes,
man.
Rhodes kind of did that a few years ago when he
kicked off some.
What, like the Rodney Coe and David Irving. I mean, if you add those guys –
yeah, they're a lot better.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're 8-4.
Yeah.
But, man, you replace those guys with a Robbie Garcia, who's not even a defensive lineman anymore, starting as a freshman at 270 pounds at D-tackle.
It would have been nice to have Irving in there.
Just,
there's no question.
I mean, look at Irving now. Like, Rhodes didn't have much of a choice in that scenario.
Yep. All right, your biggest positives taken away.
Ooh, okay. Well, obviously, David Montgomery.
Yeah, beast.
I mean, he did that against the, I would say, if not the best, one of the three best rush defenses Iowa State will play all year.
Is he way better than you thought he would be, or close?
No, he's about close for me just because I listen to what the guys say, and they've been so high on him. So here's a little interesting tidbit for you. It was media day last year, so before Montgomery had ever played.
Yeah.
And this is back when we still thought Mike Warren was the next – he's going to win the Heisman at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. I say that hyperbolically, of course. One of the coaches on Campbell's staff told me – this was all like off-the-record stuff, just a conversation at media day – that our two freshman running backs, Nwangu, who's obviously injured, and Montgomery are both better right now than Warren is.
Wow.
And I didn't believe him because we just saw Warren set a freshman rushing record.
Sure.
He was the leading freshman running back in all of college football.
Sure.
We thought he was pretty damn good, which I still think he is. He's a pretty good back.
Yeah.
He's one of the best second string backs probably in college football, I would think.
Yeah.
At least accomplished. I don't know if pure talent. So I've kind of just taken it. I've had very high expectations for Montgomery the whole time. But, I mean, that move he made when he ran over Josie Jewell was like a whole other level.
People use the cliche he runs angry, but he does.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, and he showed me a new level. And here's why I took that as a positive. I knew he was going to be good. I never had to worry about running back. I still don't think that our offensive line is a very good run-blocking line. I don't think it will be all year. I think it'll get better. I mean, those guys are going to continue to get better. We saw them last year improve.
Yep.
But it helps when you have a running back who can make people miss and get some extra yards. And Iowa State legitimately bona fide has a guy like that now. And he proved it last week against a phenomenal front seven in Iowa. So that to me was I'm way more of an offense guy just because you play in the Big 12. You got to score 30 points a game or more. If not, you're not going to have a chance. And you got to be able to run the ball. And Montgomery's a guy who, you know, in the pass mark, it's like, oh, well, we can just sit back and play the pass. Well, because he's there, you've got a game plan for him. So –
agreed.
For me, that was probably the biggest takeaway I had offensively. You want a negative?
Yeah.
I think our wide receivers are overrated right now. 7 drops. Catch the ball.
How many of those were easily catchable out of the 7, in your opinion? Because you have drops and then you have okay.
I watched the game three times now. I would say 4 to 5.
Let me ask you this question too. We have one clear exception. As we enter Big 12 play, are we going to open up more? We have not seen, other than, and even the throw wasn't necessarily that deep. We have not seen a lot of deep shots yet. Are we looking at the offense that we have? Because we have not tried to do that yet.
I don't know, Mark. That's a really good question. I would love to see that on Saturday.
Park can throw it. He's got the arm.
Park's got the arm. We have the receivers as far as athletic ability goes. In the past, Iowa State, like, you know, the Sam Richardson teams, you couldn't really go deep because your line wasn't good enough to protect him.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to respect the run. So it was really hard to go vertical.
Yeah.
I think they're absolutely capable of it. Yeah, I think that they will. And at some point, we're going to incorporate that young tight end, too.
Yeah.
I would think.
The throw to Butler for the touchdown was as pretty of a deep ball as you'll see. I mean, anytime you hit a guy in stride on the hands like that, it's a perfect ball.
Yeah, Mark, I think that if you're going to see that, we're going to see it this week because I can't imagine Akron's D-line is going to get a ton of pressure on Park.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my guess is the reason you didn't – one, the offense just didn't play that well for half of the UNI game. They were – rusty for some reason, but then they redeemed themselves and came back out. Two, though, Iowa's front four, I think that Tom Manning was a little bit intimidated by it. I don't mean that in a bad way. I think he chose to be conservative because he thought we could move the ball by doing this against these guys.
Yep.
And going deep against Iowa isn't necessarily the best game plan for us. I don't think this is what we've got.
So we'll see more.
That's just my guess.
Let me ask you. So prediction for this upcoming week, and then are you is our pass blocking as good as it looks like it is? He has had.
I think
time.
That Park's really good at getting rid of the ball too.
Yeah.
Where again, I hate to just throw Sam under the bus, but like Sam would hold on to the ball for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And even Joel did to an extent. Or Joel would tuck it away and try and run. Or like, I think Park, and this is why a guy like, not my words, because I don't know what makes an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Sage thinks that Park could be an NFL quarterback. The reason he says that is because he stays in the pocket and he's got really good timing as to when to get rid of the football.
Well, people that say that are like, oh, that's stupid. Well, it's like Beathard's an NFL quarterback at this point.
Beathard, that maddened me last year, watching Iowa fans kill that kid. He has NFL quarterback written all over him. He's got the arm. He's got the pedigree. He's got the size. Like, what are you guys killing him for? It's your offensive scheme. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, Brian Ferentz was phenomenal calling that game. He was great.
So,
as much as it kills me to admit that, he was phenomenal.
So I agree with you. You've watched the game three times, which is two more times than I've watched it. And part of it is like, okay, well, we were expecting some bad things out of Stanley, first road start, et cetera. I don't think he had to make a risky throw the whole game.
I agree with you. Yeah. Anointing Nate Stanley as the next Chuck Long is a very big mistake.
Ridiculous.
Iowa. Because Iowa State's game plan defensively was – literally make this kid beat us.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you the middle of the field. We're going to give you this. We're going to
12-yard outs are going to be wide
open. We're going to try and contain Akram Wadley. And for Akram Wadley's credit, he's so damn good, it was really hard to do.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a lack of, like, guys being in the wrong place. It was Wadley making big-time plays.
Which he did.
So, I mean, I think Nate Stanley's okay. I think he's going to be a fine quarterback for Iowa. They'll win games with him.
He had a couple of good throws on the end zone, that he made.
Yeah, my point is schematically, if a defense is saying, hey, take this.
You got to take it.
And he did, to his credit. But, most defenses Iowa plays are going to be better than Iowa State's in the Big Ten.
So, Iowa State, in recapping this game, I think Iowa State made a huge improvement over the previous year where they got destroyed. And I do think the culture's changing, and that's what Campbell's preaching, and I think it's changing. With all that said, when you're up 10 points with 6 to go, you got to win the game.
I agree.
Got to win the game.
Yeah.
Campbell knows that, and the players know that.
Oh, he knows that.
And it's about getting a stop. It's about getting a first down. It's about those things.
So I'm doing these weekly – I don't know if you've been listening to them. They run on KXNO, but just so our listeners know, I put them up on the Cyclone Fanatic feed as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interviewing Campbell every Monday.
Yep.
Just me and him one-on-one. And when we were walking back to his office, I put my arm around him. I was like, dude, sorry.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, it took me a good 24 hours to get over that.
It had to hurt.
Yeah. So, they know they let one away.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I had a hard time with this.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing these instant reaction podcasts now, and I seemed like I went back and listened to it, I was angry. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of these, by the way. So you can get my raw emotion on the game. I want to be as much like you guys as possible.
Yeah.
Notice I'm saying we more when referring to the Cyclones. I'm much more of a commentator slash than I am a reporter anymore.
Fan.
And I think that's probably good for the site.
Yeah.
But I was like, basically paraphrasing what I said, damn it, we blew another one.
Yeah.
Now, when I watched it back and the more perspective I got on it, I felt more like, man, you know what? Like, here's at the end of the day, Akram Wadley made plays. He's their superstar. He made plays for their team. And I don't want to completely throw Alan Lazard under the bus. Too many drops. Like, how many times in clutch is Alan going to drop balls? Make some plays at the clutch, man.
Well,
seriously.
And it's tough on someone like him because
he's a wide receiver.
You got the best wide receiver in school history, statistically speaking. No question about it. You've got a guy that makes – okay, yes. Was I ever Alan Lazard's level? No, but I played the position and was pretty good at it. So I have respect for him in this regard. He makes some ridiculous catches.
Yes,
the first touchdown catches, he makes those.
Yes, he does.
You have to make the easy catches. You have to. Does Iowa State win the game if they catch those seven balls? Probably yes.
I think so.
Do they win? But do
if they
also
catch five
do they,
of them, they
do
win.
They also win the game if Park doesn't throw it right to Hesse? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
They probably do.
No
so
question.
So blame
that
goes
was,
around.
To me, that was the game. When he threw that pick, I thought the rest was a formality because it just
happened so quick.
Yeah.
So you're like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, it was abysmal. Like, and I have a hard time too for two reasons. One, I love Alan. He's a phenomenal guy. He's always represented Iowa State well.
He knows he has. You're not telling him anything he doesn't know. He knows.
Two, though, it's hard to throw a wide receiver under the bus because you know, like playing the position, you can only control so much when you're a wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know?
But if but what you do know,
when
like
you get the ball,
rule one with a wide receiver is you got to catch it first before you do anything else. There's no excuse,
dude. How good
to drop a ball?
How good do you think Butler's going to be though?
Really good. Really.
See, that's why I'm not killing him though on his drop because he's a sophomore. Like, Alan, you're a senior, you're an All-American, catch the ball and clutch.
Here's the truth, though. If
Please.
He catches that ball, I think we still kick a field goal. I think he's short on
you think
that.
You think he did?
I think it looks short
well,
to me.
Well, he was short, but I thought maybe they would go for it.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Because we were in – that was first OT, right?
I think you played for the points. 6-yard line or whatever?
I think you played for the points there, unfortunately. Yeah.
I don't, just because I don't think you stop Iowa at that
point. Let me ask you this question. Maybe you got to ask. Was there a reason that Iowa State chose to play down at that end versus
I don't
the
know.
Students saw?
Yeah, I've been asked that. I don't know.
Does that seem surprising to you?
It did to me. When
maybe it's because it's closed in down there and the field's louder?
I don't know, but I thought the same thing watching the game. I go, they're going to want to go toward the students.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I was too.
Not that it made the difference.
And plus, like the Sukup end zone club, like you sit there, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, y'all are – inside drinking too much during a
there's game. A lot of people inside drinking.
I get it. It's why
we join that section or anybody so, join that
I,
section
I know.
To have your own seat.
I get it.
To have a nice bathroom.
Listen,
we're not there to cheer loud.
Hey, brother, like I get what you're paying for.
Yeah.
I know why they put it there. It's making a ton of money. But it does impact at the end of the game. It's like, man, like get out there and yell.
I know a lot of people, and I'm not one of them. When I'm there, we have two different seat locations. But when I'm there, for the most part, I'm outside watching the game. But I know a lot of people that have seats there that are never outside.
No, they're
inside the whole time and watch from the glass.
I don't blame you. If you're sitting there, you've donated enough to Iowa State, you can do whatever the hell you want. But
at the end of the game, go outside and cheer.
I don't even care. But, like, that's why it surprised me, though, because it's like, okay, it's closed in, but half the people are inside. Like, they're not going to make noise.
I'd be interested.
The students are nuts.
We're well past it now, but it might come up again in the future. I'd be interested on that answer if you ever find out from Kimmel. What about that end makes you want to go down there?
I can find that out.
Maybe it was sun or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll find that out.
Who knows?
That won't be hard to find.
All right, so prediction for this weekend.
Iowa State by 3 touchdowns.
What is the Cliff Notes version on Akron? I know nothing.
They've got a running back who was Ezekiel Elliott's backup at Ohio State.
Okay.
He's legit.
Yeah.
He's legit Big 12, Big 10 caliber back. Their line returns 4 of 5, so they've got a decent offensive line. They're interesting. They're very well coached. Terry Bowden's their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Amato, the former NFL coach, is their defensive coordinator. No, not – I'm sorry, NC State.
Does Akron play in the same league as Toledo?
Yeah.
So, so like he's very familiar.
They're familiar with one another. Akron is probably a second or third place team in their division mm-hmm. in the MAC.
Yep.
This is a game Iowa State should win. In fact, Mark, I was surprised the line was as low as it is.
What? I haven't seen it.
It opened at 9.5. It's at like 10, 10.5 right now.
So you think Iowa State wins by 14?
I do.
Okay.
Like Bloom and I, every Saturday night, we guess the next line.
Yeah.
Just as a fun thing
yep.
with one another. And I had it at like 13.5, 14. So when it came out at 9.5, I was like, whoa. Hmm. I just think that here's the difference. This being around this team, it's just a different feel.
Yeah.
They're better players. And that bad team from 2 years ago should have beaten Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
And Toledo's a lot better than Akron is.
Yep.
And this team's so much better than that one 2 years ago. Akron's not nearly as good as Toledo was. This feels like a 2-3 touchdown win to me.
This is a take care of business game.
It should be, and I think it needs to be. They need to kick their ass. If they win by a field goal on Saturday, I'll be very disappointed in this group.
Yeah.
Very.
Catch the ball. Do your job.
Just block.
Win.
Yeah, just play sound football, and they should win by 2-3 touchdowns. What do you think?
What time is the game, by the
11.
Way?
11. By the way, so that's what time the funeral is?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to – so Whitver and Danielson, who were the Fawcasters last week,
yeah.
they're completely doing Cyclone Reaction. Jack is hosting, so that'll be fun.
Nice.
But I have to do the shut off the phone, no computer.
Yeah.
One of those deals.
Where are they? Where do they do that from when the game's on the road? Where will Jack and Lane
KXNO.
Be?
KXNO.
At the station.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think I got 38 years of Cyclone history in my mind when it comes to a game like this, you know.
This feels different,
Mark. I believe that Iowa State, man, the defense, the red zone defense, back to that. That's a problem. But I would agree with you. I think we win this game by more than 14 points. I really do. And if we don't, I'll take any win because I'd like to see them get to a bowl game this year, and they need this one to do that. But, yeah, I would say by more than 14. I don't have a problem with that.
So. I want them to just blow them out, get your bye week, get completely rested up, and then you have a really great opportunity to start 3-1 against a very winnable Texas team.
And we don't want to throw Lane into the Lions' den. I mean, let's get a nice win for him so, you know, he can handle the call-in show after the game. Be great.
Lane can handle it.
Lane's a pressure player.
Do you have any good Lane stories from the last week you want to tell?
I do, but I can't say it. So I gotta live next to that guy. He'll kill me, so I can't do it. Me even saying that, he's going to be mad at me. Just what I said. So let's move on to our Fawcast 5. We have them.
Yeah, we need to get like a cool sounder for this. I'll work on that.
Didn't it? Fawcast 5.
Did you see that Ted Cruz was allegedly looking at a porn? He liked a porn link on Twitter.
So the real question becomes, if you like something, does that mean that you support it? So this was a pornography site.
What I will do, right? Like if somebody like tweets at me often, I'll just click like just to acknowledge them. It's like me acknowledging, hey, I read your post.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean I'm like endorsing it.
Yes.
But Ted Cruz went on CNN last night and with Dana Bash and said that it was a staffer. It wasn't him. It was a staffer. They've taken care of it internally.
How much respect would you have for Ted Cruz if he came out and said, you know what, the wife was out of town, I was a little bit lonely, and
I'd love it.
I dove into a little porn.
Cruz actually, he joked, and I liked it a lot. He goes, he goes, you know, there's some people out there thinking if I would have done this during the election, I'd be president right now.
Well, hey, you know what? That's funny you say that, but I don't disagree. My dad had said something once in the past. He's kind of a robot. Which I agree with this. And he says one of the things that makes you – and Trump, okay, maybe doesn't fit the mold, but one of the things that makes somebody electable is would you want to have a beer with a person?
Yeah.
You know? Would you just want to have a beer with them?
Whitford and I have talked about that a lot.
One-on-one. And Cruz? No. I mean, a normal person wouldn't want to sit down with Ted because you're going to think he's judging you for drinking a beer in the first place.
I wouldn't want to hang out with Ted Cruz.
So it's he didn't pass that
Trump,
test.
On the other hand, I'd love to have beer with Trump.
Like, Trump would be interesting. Like, Rubio, you know, he was on your show. I would have,
friend of the program.
Talked sports with Rubio. I would have been fine with that.
Rubio's got a wife who is a Dolphins cheerleader.
Would I have shared?
He's got to be cool.
Would I have shared a glass of Chianti with Hillary? I don't know. Probably not. But
I think Hillary could let loose and have some fun. She seems to me the type that...
I don't know if she's a Busch Light girl, though.
No, she'd be more of a, give me a vodka tonic.
Yeah.
That type of deal.
Heineken. If she had to go beer.
I don't think Hillary's really the type that many people wanted to have a beer with. Bernie, on the other hand, hell yeah.
Bernie'd
be
stories.
Smoking dope with people in the back.
Bernie would have some stories.
The Podcast 5, Ted Cruz allegedly looking at porn. Did you... I haven't watched it. Ross tells me to watch it all the time. Last Chance You?
I watched several episodes of it, familiar with it. And the star of that show was the counselor.
She got a big job.
She was the runaway star and has since left that university for something else. But she was the, did you bring your pencil? Like always, like asking people if they had their pencil, giving them a pencil for a test.
Well, two of these guys, see if you know their names, Camion Patrick and Isaiah Wright. Do you know who they are?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay.
Nope.
They've been charged, two of four men charged in connection with the death of a guy on July 25th for stabbing him.
It's not good. It's not good.
I didn't know if that stand out to you.
Don't remember their names. I don't know if they were on the show. Were they on the show?
They were like starred in the show, allegedly.
It was an interesting show in that... there's no other way to say it. A lot of these guys are kind of stupid, you know, and it's only backed up by the fact that a couple of them just stab somebody to death.
Yeah.
That's usually allegedly reserved for stupid people, right? I think we can agree with that.
Well, and for the most part, I don't want to be overly judgmental here, because for every guy like that, you've got like a Jake Waters who if you have D1 talent and you end up at a JUCO.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. You've either been in trouble.
Grades or trouble. Grades. Yep.
I would say 7 times out of 10. But then you have a guy like Jake Waters who's like, well, I don't want to go D2. I think if I go to a JUCO, I could show my worth to a big Power 5 program.
Play my way up.
Yeah. So I don't want to completely
generalize. Am I misremembering this big time? Cam Newton?
Yeah.
He didn't start at Auburn,
but he was troubled.
Well, again, but example of talent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, obviously.
But then you have a guy like a Corey Morrissey who played at Iowa State, the most stand-up dude you will ever meet. And he went there because he had a dream to play at Iowa State, and he worked his ass off.
It
wasn't because he had troubles or anything.
Yeah.
Canelo, Triple G, the big boxing match on Saturday. Are you going to watch it?
So here's how we know I'm not. I asked you, well, you brought that up. I said, who? So the debate here that I would have with you is boxing essentially dead as a popular sport? And
I do think that McGregor helped boxing, but I think it's on life support. I don't think it's dead.
So McGregor, if McGregor appealed to people that have never watched boxing, they might think, okay, that was exciting. I'd watch boxing. But if they get now into boxing, they're going to think, what the heck happened? It's not the same.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's on life support, to answer your question.
Boxing changed dramatically for me when they lost the hype or the allure of the heavyweight champions of the world. When I was growing up, it was Mike Tyson. And everybody wanted to see what Tyson would do, because you thought he has a chance to literally knock this person's head off of their shoulders.
Yeah.
Now, he never did that, but you're talking 30-second knockouts, 60-second knockouts, just annihilation. And after that, I went to Evander Holyfield, and then you had Lennox Lewis, and then you had the Buster Douglas fight, and you had kind of one guy after another that were kind of larger than life.
Yeah, you don't have that
anymore.
Where
did that go?
The heavyweights don't exist anymore. You've had two guys, these Klitschko guys, who have dominated for so long.
So it went away, but
I'll tell you though, Mark.
There's nothing as exciting about watching 150-pound guys go out.
This Canelo Triple G fight, this will be the best boxing match in years.
Are you watching it?
It depends on how my Saturday goes. My plan right now is to purchase it.
So it's nowhere near the cost of Mayweather fight, I hope.
I'm sure it'll be $75 at least.
Jeez, man. I don't get it. More power to you. But I'd rather watch football on a Saturday
night. I'll have a lot going on.
Man. How many TVs do you got set up now?
I got three.
Okay, so you're like me.
Yeah, I got three. I'll have the boxing probably on the big screen and then a couple games on. NFL ratings still slumping, you said?
Yeah, it's early yet. There was an article that came out. I'm looking for it. Can't find it at the moment. But, yes, NFL ratings are down. Part of that's product. Good example tonight. Tonight's a great example, by the way. How invested will you be tonight with Bengals, Texans?
I'd rather watch New Mexico and Boise, the college game, than that.
Because you like college better, or because those teams are atrocious and the game's going to be ugly?
Both. But if it were like the Chiefs and the Patriots, like last Thursday, I'd watch the NFL game.
So it's the team, okay? Part of it, and this is not me. I'm not speaking for me because I don't really care. But anecdotally, you're hearing that people are sick of the protests, the sitting during the anthem, etc. I think they are losing some people because of that. They're losing people because of cord cutting. They're losing people because their Thursday night product is garbage because it's a short week.
They need to quit playing on Thursday.
The only way they can do Thursday is if they have a bye the previous week. So they have to fit in a bye somehow so they have more time to prepare for the game. You know,
I think that you've generally lost a lot of people because of the concussion stuff too.
The concussion thing. People look at it and feel bad for players now instead of saying, oh, huge hit.
Yeah.
Well, and that's another thing. I think here's the thing that bothers me most about the NFL right now. I think the NFL is way too flag happy. Especially if you got money on the game.
Yeah.
Now, I would never do that. But allegedly speaking, let's assume I have money on the game. And they come up with a huge stop on 3rd and 8. Your team's going to get the ball back, and then here comes the flag, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For everything now, pass interference is way too ticky-tack in the NFL.
It's not as fun to watch. I totally
agree. And then a guy chucks it from the 50 in the end zone. There's a ticky-tack foul, and now you're at the 1.
I'm a bad guy to ask about this because I'm just not a huge – I mean, if the Vikings aren't playing, like the chances of me sitting and watching an entire game, it's so slim.
What did you think about your Vikes, by the way?
Phenomenal.
Adam Thielen is your leading guy up there.
I mean, it's a mirage. They're not that good.
Yeah.
It's,
Bradford looked good.
Bradford is good. Like, he's always been good. But you got to give him enough protection to let him actually throw the football. And, like, last year their offensive line was so bad. Like, they could have had John Elway back there, and they would have still struggled towards the end. I actually have a running back now.
I think you guys should be excited about Dalvin Cook, dude. That guy's.
I'm excited about Cook. I still think Steph Diggs is
good. Good
yeah,
player.
I mean, I really like the team.
You got a good tight end.
I think the defense is really good. It's the same thing that I've been saying about them for a while. It's more I think Zimmer's a really good coach. For the first time since Dennis Green was there, I'm like confident in the Vikings coach.
Yeah. And you've been to that stadium, right?
Yeah, I went last year.
Is that
the Cowboys
pretty
game.
Awesome?
Yeah, it's
I
sweet.
Need to go up there.
We should
and check
go
it
up. We should do that on a Sunday.
I do want to find a way to get to the Super Bowl.
You don't want to go to the Super Bowl.
I want to go once.
And
it's close. It's drivable.
Oh, this year.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
It's there.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Maybe we could do that this year.
Why not go? I think it'd be fun.
All right. To wrap up the Friday Five, some disturbing sex statistics you have for us, Mark.
Yeah, I got to find this one again, too.
Jeez.
I'm really terrible.
You had two stories.
And they both went away.
Sorry, we can skip this story.
No, this story was about how I can summarize this, that in a long-term relationship, women at a much higher percentage, this was based on a study, lose interest in their partner.
Yeah, because we get fat and we're just not as good as we used to be.
Now, this is one of these studies where is there anything to this? Because
my wife hates me. I mean, we've only been married like 7 years.
She already hates you? The joke goes like, okay, so you take your husband and your wife in a typical relationship and say, point out the horny one.
Yeah.
You're going to point to the dude every single time,
absolutely.
Right? For the most part. Okay,
yeah.
Not always true. So it's kind of like guys just don't care as much. We just want to get laid. Maybe that's what it is. Does it surprise you at all?
No. This is the least surprising statistic you could have possibly read.
And do you think it's because we get fat and ugly? Is that why?
And we're dopes.
We ignore them.
Yeah.
And they build up resentment over time.
Like, we start off in marriage and you're super excited and like you're probably much better. And then by 10 years in, not only are you fatter, you care less about little things.
I also wonder here. So picture your
you don't bring her flowers as much. They start to hate you.
Picture your typical Sunday, right? The wife is dealing with the kids.
Yeah.
She's cooking lunch. She's cooking dinner. What have you done? You got up at 10 a.m. Turn on the TV to watch pregame shows.
Yeah.
You watch the noon games. You watch the 3 p.m. games.
Ask yourself this.
You ate some dinner. You watch the Sunday night game.
Would you want to have sex with yourself?
No. Not after that day.
Nope.
No, not at all.
Quickly, tell me about this. So Charterhouse is hiring. What's going on?
Yeah, so we don't have a real estate segment today because we're doing this instead. So, yes, we are hiring.
Anybody can apply?
Anybody can apply. I wouldn't suggest anybody applies. I would say you actually need to want to do this for a career. But let me plug real estate real quick.
Okay.
If you're listening to this and this is you or you know somebody that I'm describing, this would be I want to meet these people. I want to meet people that are social.
Yes.
Let's start there, right?
You got to be to work in this office. I've seen it.
Do you have a lot of friends? Do you like to go out for drinks? Are you on the volleyball team with friends? Are you the type that wants to get people together? That type of person. If you're that type of person, if you have a large circle of friends, if you like people, it starts there. People will think about, well, I don't know anything about real estate. Irrelevant. Okay, I'm looking for good people. People that want to put other people first, do things the right way, be good at their job. But I can teach people how to write contracts. I can teach them how to do real estate. That's not a problem. So you don't need any experience now. That comes later. So people person is probably number one. Good attitude is huge around here. I don't want to work with poopy people.
Yeah. You don't want to be poopy.
That's what I call them. If you're the type that doesn't smile a lot, doesn't have fun and all that, then no, stay out of real estate.
If we pull you up on Facebook and you are the poop emoji, you're not welcome here.
Yeah, no poop emojis. But here's what I would tell somebody about real estate. So here's the downside is when you start in real estate, you're going to go 2 or 3 months without any paycheck. None. Okay. So if you have no money in savings or you don't have a spouse that works, probably don't get into this until you've rectified one of those situations because you have to learn the business. It's going to take a little while. No real estate agent makes a check on day one. It just doesn't happen. So 2-3 weeks, no money, or 2-3 months, no money. But beyond that, if you want to control your own schedule 100% of the time, you can decide when you want to meet with clients or not, etc. It literally is within your control for the most part. And you want to make what I would describe as unlimited income. If you want to be a beast, and you want to make $500,000 in real estate, you can absolutely do that. If you're content making $50,000 in real estate, you can do that. So it's a career where we're helping people. It's a fun job most of the time, and you can make a lot of money. That's the truth. So if that sounds appealing to you and you're not lying to yourself and you really are a people person and you really do have a good attitude and you want to get into this career, then yes, I want to take you out for coffee and have a conversation with you.
How many people are you hiring?
We're looking to hire probably 3 or 4 coming up. And the classes, you have to take classes, you have to do all this stuff to get licensed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
October 23rd, the week of October 23rd is the next set of classes. So people that are thinking about this would have time to meet and do some of this stuff. But it's hard I can't picture doing anything else. Let's put it that way. I've been doing this 12 years. I love real estate. It's a fantastic career, and we are looking for some good people. We're already meeting with people. We've met some good candidates already. I'm looking for more good candidates. So if anyone out there wants to talk about real estate, coffee's on me. We'll go chat. And
coffee's on Mark.
We'll figure out if you're a good fit.
That's good stuff.
That's it, man. Have I convinced you to quit your job yet and come join us?
Are you inviting me to?
You know a lot of people, Williams.
I do know a lot of people.
You really do. Although sometimes you're a bit of a sourpuss. You come in and you're like,
not anymore. Now that Gray's gone, I feel like I'm a much more pleasant person to be around.
That helped everybody. Oh, by the way, I do want to plug one more thing upcoming. We do have data's being worked out. We're going to have Paul Shirley on.
Oh, great. I'm looking forward to that.
Paul Shirley has written a new book called, I believe it's called Stories I Tell on Dates.
Yeah, and I can't wait to interview Paul Shirley.
So he's going to send us a copy of the book. We can read the book before the interview. And I warned him we're going to ask him about the Eustachy years and dive in a little deep there, and he's fine with that.
I cannot wait.
So
I've been wanting to interview him for years.
That's going to be a good one, I think. We'll talk about his book. We'll talk about the Iowa State years.
It's a can't miss. How'd you get his number?
Twitter. God bless Twitter, dude.
Yeah, you can pretty much do anything, especially when a guy's trying to sell a book.
Oh, absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Fun podcast today. Later, guys.